chapter 10. We're going to look at a couple of passages in chapter 11 and put it all together today as we consider this Bible truth in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28 says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." I would title this, "What do you expect?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would help us to glean from your word some truths today that we can apply. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful truths in song that we've heard and in word that have been shared with us this morning. Our hearts have been blessed and prepared and ready for you to do a work. We pray that you would now give us the willingness to allow your Holy Spirit to challenge us, to mold us into the image of your Son. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you get a chance to look at the back of the T-shirts that the soccer team wears, it's got their kind of their team, I don't know, what do you call it, Coach? Where's he at? Say it again? Core beliefs. That's how they said it, the team core beliefs, and kind of a pyramid aspect. It all works toward Christ's likeness, and it's a wonderful truth that's just right there on the back of their T-shirts, and they carry it with them, obviously. There's more of them. This is the ones that could make it down here this weekend. I think there's 21 of you all together when you all get together and sing. So, man, I would love to hear that whole group one of these days. That would just be exciting to be able to hear them all together. So what do you expect? That's the question before us. As we consider this, there's two groups of people that God's going to divide this up into. He divides in chapter 10 here, the righteous and the wicked, or the believer and the unbeliever, those who trust Christ as their Savior, and those who do not know Christ as their Savior. In Proverbs 11, verse 7, he says this, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men shall perish." Proverbs 11, 23 says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." So God, in this passage here, he's kind of looking at these two groups of people, and he's trying to get us to consider something. We have something that we're living for, something that is motivating us, something that is pushing us, and that is our expectation, our anticipation. It is, the Bible refers to this as our hope. It's something that we're waiting for, we're looking for that glorious appearing. The idea that of hope in the Scripture is not one like in our day and age. We might say, well, I hope somebody's going to die and leave me $5 million. Well, you know, chances are you may not even know anybody that has $5 million. So your hope is not quite an anticipation. It's not an expectation. It's just kind of, you know, a fluff that's sitting out there. That's not what God's talking about. When he talks about the Christian hope is something that is solid and certain and sure, and it is something that we anticipate. And the same is true for the wicked. That's the point that he's trying to make. You know, what we're living for is quite honestly what we're going to get. And so he's dealing with these two groups of people. And I was thinking this through as I was reading this passage. About what is the expectation of the unsaved? Because the Bible says that their expectation is going to perish. The Bible says that they live this life and then their expectation dies with them. So what is it that the unsaved person is anticipating, is looking for, is expecting? And I came up with several things that become important to an unsaved person that is going to die with them. You get the idea? When an unsaved person dies, they take these things with them and they're gone. They're done. It's over. Some people live for the reputation. The most important thing to some people is, what do other people think? They buy clothes based on what other people think. They buy cars based on what other people think. They live in certain houses based on what other people think. Some people go to certain churches all because it's based on what other people think. Their reputation has become the most important thing to them. And when they die, the expectation, the anticipation, the reward that comes with their choice of what they're living for dies with them. They have nothing. It's all gone. Whereas we were reminded in the verses today, like the Apostle Paul, who had all of these things, but he counted all things as loss for what? For the glory of God, for the cause of Christ. Everything about Paul's life and everything about the Christian's life ought to be in the future. Our expectation is that what glory and honor comes in our lives, what reputation matters, is the glory and honor that reflects upon our Savior for all eternity. We live for something different. When we die, our expectation does not die. When we die, our expectation is realized. For the first time, we actually see it and know it. It becomes tangible for the very first time, really. Another thing that the unsaved might live for is wealth, money, stuff. Fill in the blank. Materialism. Do you think that we're a nation consumed by materialism? Do you know it? And don't point. Do you know anybody who lives for stuff? Do you know anybody who's like gets up every day and their motivation to go to work is so that they can get stuff? They polish their stuff, they shine their stuff, they put it out on display for everyone to see because it's all about the stuff that they're accumulating. The Bible says that when this wicked man dies, his expectation dies with him. What does he take with him? Nothing. He's going to leave it all behind for his family to fight over. And that never happens. But, you know, he's going to leave it all behind because his expectation dies with him. You and I, on the other hand, we live, we lay up rewards in heaven. You and I live that a crown of righteousness may be given so that we then can take that crown of righteousness and lay it at the feet of the only one worthy of glory and honor. Remember, we're back to the first step. Our expectation, our future anticipation is yet to be realized. We're not living for the things of this world. As Pastor Brett was just reminding us, I like that terminology. As Pastor Brett was just reminding us, you know, it was the Apostle Paul, as he's talking there, his citizenship isn't here, it's in heaven. And his whole purpose of living is for that other citizenship. And that was the whole idea. And so there's an expectation, anticipation. Our expectation becomes realized upon death or upon the rapture. Whereas the unsaved, their expectation dies with them. How about revenge? I know that's a weird one to throw in here. But the reality is there are a lot of people living their lives trying to pay people back. Think for a moment. I'll just give you a category of people and you'll understand it immediately. Think politician. See their motivation? Guess what happens when that person who is living out to pay somebody back. Now, by the way, let's take the politician out of the mix and let's just add a whole group of people who are still angry at their parents and are living their lives to pay their parents back for all the mistakes that they made. Well, let me be the first to tell my kids I made a lot. But don't waste your life trying to pay me back, all right? Parents are going to make mistakes, but there are a group of people in America whose life is lived out to pay back society, to pay back mom and dad, to pay back the politician, to pay back everybody else. Sometimes they're caught up in things like race and creed, and they're living to pay everybody back for all the horrible things that have happened to them. You know what happens when they die? Their revenge dies with them. You and I do not live for revenge. In fact, we embrace the total opposite, recognizing, as we've been reminded in song again and again, that we are not worthy. I love that John Newton quote, you know, that I know two things I really know. I know that I'm a sinner and he's a Savior. What a wonderful thing. Two things I have. I may not remember everything, but this I can remember. Because I am not worthy of whatever God is going to give me. And if I live my life trying to be paid back, I'm only earning the vengeance of God. No, we live our lives under grace. When the Christian leaves this life, his expectation is realized. But the lost, they lose their expectation. How about pleasure? I mean, the Bible says even for the Christian that sin brings pleasure for a season. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in living our lives out for pleasure. We're all wrapped up in this idea of life is supposed to be fun, that's the definition of life, that life is supposed to be whatever it is that makes me enjoy it. Life is supposed to be whatever it is that gives me some momentary feeling. And we begin to live our lives that way. And when that lost person who has embraced that lifestyle leaves this world, all of the hopes of pleasure and joy go with them. But you know what happens for us? When we leave this life, we enter into joy unspeakable and full of glory. And for the first time, our expectation is realized. Our expectation doesn't die with us, it comes alive at the end of our lives. Why are we living our lives? Which category do we fit in? Why would you want to be over here with these people whose lives are empty and hollow and leading to nothing? Why wouldn't we want the promises of God? So, you know, that pleasure is not going to be there. Some people live for influence. You know, their idea is, you know, what kind of impact can I have on this life? And that's fantastic. I'm all about impacting this life. We'll talk about that in just a second. We ought to be doing that, right? Like the Apostle Paul, we ought to be saying, follow me as I follow Christ. We ought to be doing that. That's our job. But some people who have left Christ out of the mix, it's all about them and how can I influence. And their goal is, I want to make sure I have a building that bears my name. I want to make sure that someplace there's a plaque that says, John Ray did this, or John Ray did that. And we're all about the impact it's all about us. But guess what? Do you know who lived in your house 3 generations ago? There may be a piece of paper buried in a wall someplace that says, you know, John Ray lived here in 1878. But you don't know it. Because when we die, that expectation dies with us. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And for the Christian who embraces what God has given us to do, and we carry the gospel to a lost and dying world, here is what I know. When Southeast Baptist Tabernacle enters into glory, there's a host of people who will be there because Southeast Baptist Tabernacle gave the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And while their expectation dies with them, ours will only be realized. Can you imagine being the guy who led Billy Sunday to Christ, who led D.L. Moody to Christ, you can't even tell me who they are, probably. But in heaven, they're counting the souls that have come about because their expectation is being realized. What are you living for? What do you expect? This life is going to give us what we're living for. That's what the Bible's teaching us. And if we're living for the wrong things, then our expectation dies with us. Are we getting caught up in all of the things that our society is pushing us toward and missing out on the big picture? God wants us to understand there's really 2 paths. There's a straight and narrow, and there's a broad way. The broad way leads to destruction, and the straight and narrow path leads to life. There's really only 2 paths. There's only 2 categories we fit into, the lost and the saved, the righteous and the wicked. This is it. There's only 2. What are we living for? What are we expecting? How about good things? Finish this phrase. Every good thing must, say it out loud, come to an end. Unless we're of the believer. Because when the good things that we're enjoying in this life comes to an end, it gets better. Do you see how this works? It gets better, because eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. The reality is, for the believer, it is not every good thing comes to an end. For the believer, it is only the tip of the iceberg. What we anticipate hasn't been realized yet. We're asked by God to live our lives with the expectation of what he has to bring to us. And we haven't seen it yet. We're like the children of Israel standing on the edge of the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua says to them, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Remember that? That's where we are. The expectation is still future. We haven't even begun to fathom what God is about to accomplish for our future. We're not living under that expectation. The expectation of the wicked, it's going to perish. The expectation of the wicked shall die with him. When the wicked man die, his expectation shall perish. That's not us. We might be careful here. This is a kind of a different kind of category, but I want you to figure this out. Some people embrace family. That's their purpose of living. And family is great. I mean, don't misunderstand. That's what I'm trying to say. This is not to say that God doesn't put a huge emphasis on family. All right, he does. First priority we have in our lives. But here's the thing. When the wicked man perishes, what happens to his family? You do understand that you don't take friends or family with you to hell. And if you do, you don't care. You understand? You are suffering, they are suffering. But there's an opportunity for the righteous. It's totally different. See, I happen to know that my son and my daughter have both trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so my anticipation is not to one day say goodbye and never see them again. My anticipation is that when I get to glory, my mom and my dad and my brother, they're there waiting for me. This is not the same for the lost. What does the lost have? Even if he's made family, his emphasis, the expectation of the wicked perishes with him. And he says goodbye for the last time. He must leave them. Not so. Not so, because the power of the gospel holds for our families as well. And as we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of Christ and we give them the gospel, there's the hope, the expectation, the anticipation that they will understand and accept Christ as their Savior. And when they do, it's yet to be realized how good it's going to be to spend eternity with my family. And sometimes my kids, I'm sure, are thinking, please, not eternity. It's bad enough to spend Sunday afternoon with Dad. You know, I'm sure. But think about this for a minute. The expectation of the wicked dies with him, but it's not the same for the righteous. Even simple things like our health, right? Some people live for their health. If you don't believe me, then figure out how much is being spent on health care every day in America. I don't know what the figure is. You know what it is, Doc? Billions. Every day. It's a lot of money. You know, we want to be healthy, and that's great. I want everybody to be healthy, too. I want to be healthy myself. I'm not, you know, volunteering for sickness, all right? But the idea is that if someone says, I'm going to make health my God, my reason for living, and so they get up and they run and they get up and they eat right and they get up and they exercise and they sleep and they do all these things to take care of their bodies, when they die, their expectation dies with them. But guess what, Christian? This body is not the one I'm saddled with for all eternity. Isn't that great? My expectation is yet to be realized. Because one day this mortal will put on immortality. And as the old, you know, song goes, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new... You guys know that song? On that resurrection... Never mind. Okay, I won't sing it for you. We're going to be resurrected. It's going to be... My expectation is yet to be realized. We have got to be careful not to get caught up in living for the moment and in living for the day and in somehow thinking that this life is what it's all about. And we forget that our expectation is not here. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we don't live for this life. Our expectation is yet to be realized. There's an old poem that I'll just give it to you. The best is never over. The best is never gone. There's always something lovely to keep you struggling on. There's a compensation for every cross you bear. A secret consolation is hidden somewhere. Ends are really beginnings, as someday you will see. The best is never over. The best is yet to be. And that's where we are. Aren't you so thankful that we don't get up and face every day thinking, this is it? But the wicked, who has embraced a lifestyle that's all about this life, all they have to look forward to, all they have to expect, is what this life has to offer. And when their life ends, all hope goes with it. So, Pastor John, I don't want to be there. How do I get over here? How do I have some expectation of things getting better? Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm chopping all these scriptures together in case you're trying to figure this out. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And at that moment, when we place our faith, our trust, our confidence in what Jesus Christ did on the cross as the payment for our sin, at that moment, we become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we begin a journey. And it's now a journey with Christ. And it's a journey where our expectation is out before us. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is not what it's about. My anticipation is not about next week's offering or how many people are going to be at Easter service. I'm not living for this life and what it has to offer. Our expectation, our hope, our anticipation is what God has in store for us. Where are you at in this mix? You only have one of two places. Either you are living for this life and you're going to be sorely disappointed at its end, or you're living for a life that is better in a place that you've never yet been that we call home, a place called heaven. What are you living for? What do you expect? That's the question before us. Are your expectations God's expectations? Here's what the Bible says. Think about this. The heart deferred does what? Maketh the heart sick. In other words, when you're hoping for something, you're anticipating something, you're expecting something, and it doesn't become a reality, it's disheartening. It maketh the heart sick. Can you imagine living your whole life for stuff? Living your whole life to accumulate everything you want, only to find, as with your last breath, that that stuff brings you nothing. And for all eternity, the heart deferred, the hope deferred, I'm sorry, maketh the heart sick. For all eternity, remembering what might have been, but we passed it up. What might have been, but we surrendered it. What are you living for today? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please, for a moment.